Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to create a truly unique IoT design. As always, should you or any member of your engineering team be caught or killed, we will disavow any knowledge of your actions. This podcast will self-destruct in 5 seconds. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of this here Rockin' and Rollin' Engineering Podcast, brought to you by EEJournal.com. I'm Amelia Dalton, and this week, no, we are not self-destructing, but we are talking about IoT, connected cars, surfing, and beer. So, without further ado, let's get this party started. And what gets a party started faster than a little brewski, right? But what about a little AI named brewski? Did you know that Portland, Oregon, yes, where this here podcast is based, has the most breweries per capita in the entire United States? With a variety of truly strange beer names, including Gorgeous George, Devil's Creek, and A River Runs Through It. And that's just what's on tap at the brewery down the street. You wouldn't think that brewers were actually running out of names for their hops-heavy concoctions. But it's true. Twitter fights have erupted, lawyers have been involved, it's starting to get ugly. So, what can we do to save the day? Bring in AI, of course. Or more specifically, AI engineer extraordinaire Janelle Shane and her industrious AI neural network. You may know Janelle's name from previous episodes of Fish Fry, the most recent being her AI foray into the world of paint names. My favorite AI created paint color names from her previous experiments include Ghastly Pink, Stanky Bean, and Grass Bat. I mean, Grass Bat, you can't get much better than that. Okay, so before we get into the next batch of hilarious AI-named products, this is how Janelle's experiment got going. First, Janelle was provided with hundreds of thousands of beer names from beeradvocate.com, which included 90 different types of beer. Then, Janelle combined these data sheets together to create a few hundred unique names. Next, her engineering compatriot, Ava Galati, sorted those names into more broad group of names. And then Janelle set her neural network to work on each category. Now let me tell you, when I scrolled through the list of names that Janelle's neural network put together, it was very difficult to come up with my favorites. But I did somehow manage to narrow down my choices to a couple per type. So, my favorite IPA names, Heaven Cat and Witty Banger Fripper. IPA. For the strong pale ales, I was particularly fond of the Vunker the Finger, or Gunder of Traz, or even Cherry Boof Cornister. I knew a Cherry Boof Cornister in high school. Yeah. Anyway, for ambers, it was Rickin Organic Red Death, with two A's in death, of course. And for stouts, Barrel-Aged Chocolate Milk Smoke, and Pimperdingnistic, the blacksmith with cherry stout. That one's got to be my favorite. Anyway, my friends, there were many, many more hilarious beer names, but we've got to get a move on. So if you want to check out even more cool names created by Janelle Shane's neural network, I've included a link below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com. All right, let's get into some IoT, some connected cars, some PCBs, some surfing. All right, let's welcome Ted Pawella, Chief Marketing Officer at Altium, to Fish Fry. Ted joins us to discuss the biggest PCB trends in the IoT ecosystem and how the next generation of connected cars will present us with another level of complex board design challenges. Oh yeah, and a little bit about surfing. Cool. Let's go. Hi, Ted. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Hi, Amelia. Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm happy to spend some time with you today.
So, Ted, most of my audience will know who Altium is, but give us a quick recap on what you guys are all about.
Yeah, I'm glad to have the chance to answer that, because I think that actually a lot of people know the obvious things about Altium, but maybe don't know more detail behind it. So Altium is a company that's been around for 30 years, and we have done many things. But most recently, as of 2012, we came back to what I think are really the core roots of the company, which is PCB design software. And so we do schematic, we do layout analysis against that. But really, you know, our mission is to try to be the number one PCB design software company in the world. But most of all, you know, we pride ourselves on our connection to the end users themselves, as opposed to corporation to corporation. The other thing for me that's very striking is that DNA of Altium is not just that connection to the customer, but doing so in a way that is focused on making high-end technology available or accessible to people who might not otherwise have it.
All right, Ted, let's talk about IoT. Now, how do you think IoT is shaping electronic design, specifically in the PCB design space? And what are you seeing are the biggest trends? And how are these trends affecting board design in particular?
Yeah, you know, there's some pretty obvious trends. Like, I guess the most obvious would be just that there's more boards, as everything becomes more connected and becomes smarter, leading to a proliferation of boards. So while, you know, I look at the market statistics and see people in debate over how fast is the market growing or not growing, they usually base that on revenue. I think that's a little bit misleading. If we instead base it on the number of boards being created, I think we'd see a lot of growth, and that's what IoT is doing for all of us who are in EE-related industries. So it's more boards, but I think also, you know, what we're seeing is, obviously, as more of those go into place, we're seeing more and more machine-to-machine communication. So that's driving some of the boards with respect to what's on them, like Wi-Fi, for example. But also, you know, what we're finding is that putting those boards into a box like a computer is a lot different than putting them into a device that's already got a form factor. So that's really affecting trends towards size and shape. I think that is obviously leading to a lot of, I don't know, change in design focus towards things like flexible boards, rigid flex boards, high density interconnect. Those kinds of things I think are becoming more and more important. And everywhere you look, you see more and more of those topics, I think.
Okay, Ted, let's talk about one of my favorite subjects, cars, or more specifically, connected cars. So, as we all know, they present board designers with a whole other set of prerequisites and design challenges. What do you think are the biggest issues surrounding these new areas of board design?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. So I talked a little bit about the idea that size and shape were important, and they are in automotive. That's no different. But I think what also comes into play in automotive that's more unique are things like safety. So a lot of where PCB is going in automotive systems are towards sensor-based systems that are safety-related, and so that means that you have to be able to rely on those things. So now we have a lot of high-speed design for that reason, but we also see things like reliability standards increasing, and reliability actually in very difficult environments, so high-heat environments, high-stress environments, and vehicles are always moving. And so for automotive, I think those are kind of like unique requirements that drive us to do additional things. You know, when I talked about size and shape, I talked about HDI, high-density interconnect. I also talked about shape, but I think it's also pushing us towards more multi-board systems, just as we try to fit the same density of circuitry into packages that can fit as well. And certainly automotive is no exception there. So that's obviously really important for automotive as well as the other industries. To deal with these high-stress, high-temperature requirements, I would say that we're seeing a trend towards automotive manufacturers thinking about board materials like epoxy mold compound and thinking about different ways of doing things like die-attach materials as opposed to more traditional board design. So automotive is definitely kind of pushing us forward in terms of design robustness and, again, high speed, signal integrity, electromagnetic shielding, and in EMI concerns. Definitely they're causing all of us to kind of push the envelope in our capabilities.
So you guys are hosting Altium Live in October of this year. So tell my audience a bit more about this event.
Yeah, I'm really excited about Altium Live. It's actually, I believe, it's the first time in Altium's history that we've done an event like this. So the idea behind Altium Live is really provide a platform for people within the industry, and specifically the PCB designers who represent our end users, to get them into one place where they can learn. And so what we're doing is bringing in industry expertise. We've got people like Happy Holden coming in to talk about what's happened historically in PCB design and how that's kind of changing as we go forward. And obviously, he's got, you know, a long history in there. People like Rick Hartley coming in to talk about different areas in high-speed design, for example, give people the benefit of their expertise over many, many years. But we also have a number of people who are from our customer base who are working within some of the larger, more notable companies who will be talking about how things work at their company in terms of PCB design so that people can learn from each other as well. You know, user-to-user presentations to talk about unique problems they've solved or challenges that they have. So it's really kind of a user-to-user event. Certainly we'll launch some products that we're excited about. On the other hand, the key focus here is, as I said, user-to-user, getting people more training. And then maybe one last thing I'll mention about it is that Altium, you know, one of the things that we believe in is that when we think about the notion of corporate social responsibility, within the industry, we have that responsibility, and we believe ours, it's not to create clean water or necessarily to do something more environmentally friendly, but to give back to the electronics design community in some way. So we're also going to be doing kind of a team building event where we'll have all of our attendees working in a competition to build some robots and compete against each other and do something fun. But at the end, what we're going to do is have all of that robotic equipment along with course curriculums given to programs that support STEM education programs in schools and communities. Now, I'm particularly excited about that element of it, but really super excited about the idea that we have user-to-user event where people can learn from each other.
All right, Ted, it's time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, I know you enjoy some surfing, and that's a bit more of a lifestyle than a hobby, but what do you really love about surfing?
Yeah, you're right. It is. I like to say that it is a lifestyle other than a hobby, and my wife would attest to that. She used to say that there's no such thing as just go once a week or you go on the weekends. It's I try to go every day, and you think about it, and you dream about it, and it's kind of always there in your head. And the reason for that is that, for me, it's a real opportunity to kind of do two things. One is to connect with nature and in the outdoor environment, and there's no place like the ocean to do that when you're out amongst sea life and birds and seagulls and pelicans, and it's a quiet place as well where you can, to some extent, kind of get your zen on. It really kind of grounds me for the whole day and clears out all of the stress from the previous day and kind of gives me a good baseline to move forward in a good frame of mind. So for me, it's all of those things.
I love it. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me, Ted.
Thanks for having me, Amelia.
Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And if LinkedIn is more your thing, well, sure, you can follow us on LinkedIn as well. And we have a YouTube channel, keyword EEJournal. It is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series. And also you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. And by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can grab our Fish Fryin' RSS feed or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Fryin' page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or even the best geeky hotspot in your city, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com. or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of August 18th, 2017, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.